Good morning. God is good. Many of you can attest to that by what you ate on Thanksgiving, that God is good. Some of you are a little sad today, and some of you are happy due to college football weekend being rivalry week. But as you think about life, this is the Lord's Day. We should rejoice and be glad in it. And as you think about rejoicing and be glad in it, I couldn't help but think in the song that Brother Marlon just sung, the last phrase said, the precious friend who died for me. Jesus is precious, and he did die for you. And for that, you should be thankful. I had Brother Mark on read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 to kind of set the stage of what I hope to kind of explain and talk about. I want you to consider all the things that you are thankful for. And when you think about the things that you are thankful for, many would say family, many would say friends, thank for their jobs and career, etc., and etc. But how many of you are thankful for the gospel? See, that's the title of our lesson today. I am thankful for the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's the news that we all can use. See, it's good for mankind. See, the gospel is so good, it can take the sinner and make them a saint. It can take the unrighteous and make them righteous. It can take the unholy and make them holy. As you think about that, you have to find yourself in that. As you look at what our brother Mark read, Paul writing to the church at Corinth said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Does your faith stand in the power of God? See, when you think about that, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Many times when I preach, this is a verse I probably quote in every sermon that I preach. The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God. Now, we just saw that term in 1 Corinthians, but we didn't see the term gospel. But the power of God is the gospel, and we need to be thankful for that power. Now, as you think about not being ashamed of the gospel, you might want to know, why do we have the gospel? You ever wondered that question? Why do we have the gospel? We can find that answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And I know these are verses that many of us who are members know, and you might say, why are you taking the time to read this? There might be someone who may not quite know what the gospel is, and you don't want to take that for granted. So I just want you to see that the gospel is known as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You got to believe it first. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now that is the gospel. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and where ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, I often wonder, why did Paul put this here? He said, unless ye have believed in vain. There's some that can obey the gospel, but they can believe in vain. And their actions and their attitudes show that they believe in vain, because it's by what they do. Listen what he says the gospel is, verse 3 and 4. Pay close attention. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So he's letting them know, I deliver to you what I received, what I learned, what I was taught, what I obeyed. And this is what he obeyed. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins, and according to the scriptures, Christ raised on the third day. Those are the facts of the gospel that we must believe. Now, the gospel, there also is a command of the gospel. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus speaking, he says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, you got to think about the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Now, we looked at the facts. We looked at the command. Jesus commands that everyone obeys the gospel. Now, there is a promise to be enjoyed if we obey the gospel. Turn to Romans 6 and verse 23. This is why we have the gospel. 1 Corinthians told us we have it because of sin. But Romans 6 and verse 23 is going to tell us what the payment for sin is, meaning the penalty of sin. But he also gives us the reward of obedience. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages and the payment of sin is death. Jesus came to earth and paid that penalty of death. So me, you, and anyone who decides to obey do not have to fear death because Jesus paid the penalty. All you have to do is obey him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you will accept the gift? You got to accept the gift. Jesus did everything that he needed to do. God planned it. Jesus executed what God set for him to do. Now, as you think about this, I've just kind of laid the fact and let you know what the gospel is and let you know why we have it, as well as tell you some of the reasons why we have it. Point number one in this lesson is this. I am thankful for the gospel because it saves all who will obey. Throughout God's word, God has always saved when man obeyed. Let's go to the Old Testament. In the days of Noah, when Noah built the ark to the specification that God set in place, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their children, those eight souls went in the ark. And when God set them in the ark, they were the only ones who was preserved after that flood came. Naaman, when he was instructed to dip in the pool 7 times, he was a little upset. He was mad because he thought that he would get a certain response. But when he obeyed the 7 times, he was cured of his leprosy. God always saves when man obeys. Think about Rahab. Rahab was told to hang the scarlet cord in the window to keep the business that the man had set with her. She did that. All that were in her household were saved. God always saves when man obeys. We need to remember that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, when you think about being saved from sin, you have to ask yourself, all mankind need the gospel because we all have sin. Romans 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 of that same chapter says, for all, A-L-L, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hence, we need the gospel. The gospel is so powerful that it can still save sinners. Do you believe that? Do you believe that enough to go out and tell others about the good news? Many of us sat with people today or this past weekend or throughout the week that we know if they died, they could not face God and hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Did you utilize that time to share the gospel or to plant a seed? Because if you don't plant that seed, if you don't share that gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's worked in every generation. Don't make the preconceived notion that this person won't obey. Many times we won't say anything because that second son, they've been this way for 50 years. We're not going to say anything. But when they die, one of the first things people ask you, you feel bad, they ask you, is that person a Christian? And then you're sitting there saying, well, what? Then you might have the guilt. What are you doing to spread the gospel? Now, the gospel is powerful enough to save all mankind. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And I'll use this passage to prove the point that we should be thankful for the gospel because it can save all mankind. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, the scriptures say, "Know ye that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a fact. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why they need the gospel. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." I'm certain that we know somebody that falls in one of these categories. We may have even at one point in time been in one of these categories. Verse 10, "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now pay close attention to what Paul says. Pay close attention. "And such were some of you." So the audience that he's writing to, some of them were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, they were effeminate, abusers of themselves, of mankind. Some of them were thieves, some were covetous, some were drunkards, some were revilers, some were extortioners. He's saying, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed. You are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We should be thankful for the gospel because we can be all those things, and if we submit to submersion, we can be washed, justified by God, and sanctified by his word. We need to be thankful for that. That's good news. That's something to get excited about. See, we should be so excited about the gospel. See, I get excited about Georgia football and other things in life, but are you as excited? What? Just think to yourself. Let me ask you this question, hypothetically. Answer this for yourself. What is it in your life that you get excited about? And when it comes to that thing that you, the thing or things you get excited about, do you get as excited about the gospel as your favorite television show? Do you get as excited about the gospel as you do about your children? Do you get as excited about the gospel as how much you love your wife? The gospel is good news, and we need to share this good news, and we need to be thankful because it will save all who will obey. You take them out. God just requires you spread the message. If we catch it, God can clean it. You don't have to worry about it. Whatever you catch, God can clean. Don't sit there and try to rationalize and say, "Well, this person has a lot of sin." You catch it, God will clean them, make sure they're right, and put them on the highway of holiness. Point number two. I am thankful for the gospel because it shapes me when I submit and strive to grow. See, we have to understand that the gospel will save us and it will shape us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 and following. This is a beautiful passage. If you don't have this thought in your Bible, I would encourage you to study it and ponder this and think about it because it's very beautiful what happens. We should be thankful for the gospel because it will shape us when we submit and strive to grow. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." See, when you think about that, that helps you understand that you must strive to grow and be committed to God. He died for you, and he rose for you. And all he wants for you to do is to no longer live for yourself, but to live for him. Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, things are become new." Are you still a new creature today? The text don't say if you are in Christ, you don't become an old creature. You remain a new creature. Have all things in your life become new? Meaning, okay, if you did certain things that was contrary to God's will and word, Then that's the reason why you obey this gospel, so you can have those sins remitted. Are you new? Are you walking in newness of life? Is your focus about worship and praising God, or is it about the things of the world? Verse 18, and all things are God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice, this text says, God reconciled us to himself through Christ. We should be thankful and appreciate that, because it helps me to understand when you put it in context. When the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You need to know that God had you in mind when he said, I'm going to reconcile you. I'm going to make you my friend again. But you being my friend is going to take me allowing my son to become the epitome of what I hate, sin. Look at verse 19. To the wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Are y'all thankful for the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation? See, I get excited when I can read about sinners in the Bible who became saved when they chose to obey God. See, when they were forgiven, they had a clean slate. In other words, he tells us we don't have to worry about our past, because there are some things in our past that we are ashamed of. But if you are focused on God's word and you do what he wants you to do, you are a new creature. And when you being a new creature, you don't have to worry about that. Verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Is that your mindset when it comes to the people that you love that haven't obeyed the gospel? Be ye reconciled to God. Become God's friend by submitting and obeying his gospel, because you need it. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Could you imagine being made something for someone else to benefit them that you were not? God made him to be sin, so we could be viewed as righteous. He didn't know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, the gospel should shape us, and it should mold us and cause us to grow. After you hear the good news of what Jesus did for you, and you know all the things that you've done, the unrighteous deed, and he's made a way for you to be saved, you should live for him, because he died for you. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. See, the gospel will truly shape you. And maybe this is some practical lesson. Maybe you can ask yourself, is the gospel truly shaping me to be what God would have me to be? Is it helping me to grow and become what God would have me to be? You need to know, when you look at God's word, the gospel should shape us. It should cause us to grow. Look at verse 11. Familiar passage. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. Look at what grace does. Grace teaches us that we should deny ungodliness. How are we doing when it comes to denying ungodliness in our life? Either we're doing it or we're not doing it. Are we denying worldly lust? This is the grace of God. This is how it would shape us. Because it would shape us and it would cause us to deny ungodliness. Let's say prior to you becoming a Christian, you were a liar. You are a habitual liar. But the grace of God will teach you to tell the truth. If you were a fornicator, the grace of God will teach you that you can't do that. If you were a club goer, the grace of God will teach you that you can't do that and serve him. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. And not only teaches us to deny ungodliness, it teaches us to deny worldly lust. See, worldly lust can come in all types of forms and fashions. It's not just dealing with the flesh. Worldly lust can be TV. Worldly lust can be your family and your friends. whatever causes you to take your mind off God, the grace of God teaches you to deny that. And then it tells us, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. But it also teaches us that grace teaches us what not to do as well as what to do. It tells us we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So as you think about living soberly and righteously in this present world, have you fixed it in your mind to be back tonight? See, you show whether or not you love the Lord when you can come and you choose not to come. Are you demonstrating your love for the Lord? See, God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. He allowed Christ to die for us. We demonstrate our love, adoration, our appreciation, and our growth by doing what God will have us to do. When we don't come, we're showing God we don't appreciate this grace. We're not trying to be shaped. We're not submitting and striving to grow. We're doing what we want to do. That's the worldly lust. We're denying ungodliness. I mean, we're heeding to ungodliness. See, when you think about stuff like that, we should, you know, sometimes people miss worship services. And when they miss worship services during the time of worship services, they're on Facebook posting stuff of what they're doing, where they're at, instead of being in the house of God. That's ungodliness. That needs to be repented of. See, the elders sometimes don't know about these things, but you need to consider that you're being ungodly, you're being disrespectful to God. Because if you have the ability to sit there and post, which requires that you do some thinking, you're posting what you're doing, you could have took that time and got up out your bed, put on your clothes, and came to worship service. It's a matter of, do you love him or are you just playing with him? We should be thankful for the gospel because it will shape us when we submit and strive to grow. When we submit to the gospel and the beauty of it, we will not love the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you doing the will of God so you can abide forever? All these things of this world, they are going to pass away. See, some of us, when you think about being a Christian, that everybody has strengths, weaknesses, there's opportunity, and there's threats to everybody. And when I look at myself, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, you know, my focus is where I want it to be. But the thing that I get on myself about when I look at God's word is I got to tighten up when it comes to my professional development and growth. Because God wants us to be balanced. God doesn't want us to just to be, okay, all right, content with what you have. If you can do more, he wants you to press on. So when you think about that, you know, it's easy sometimes to say, well, man, I'm doing this, but you're neglecting other things that you need to do. Thank God for help me, because they can help you and assist you. Or thank God for Christian brothers and sisters that's honest enough to tell you the truth when you come up short. Now, as you think about being molded, as you think about growing, to grow, it requires that you do something. You got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you thirst and hunger for God's word like you do for your daily food and substance? Some of us do, some of us don't. Point number three is this. I'm thankful for the gospel because it sustains me when I commit and remain steadfast. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. The gospel will sustain us. There's nothing like starting a race and not being able to finish it. I can remember playing college ball. We would have a conditioning test at the end of every summer. And I can remember some of the big linemen struggling to make it. They would start the test, and then they would kind of struggle. You could take it two times. You could take it in the morning at 7 o'clock, or you could do it in the afternoon when it's 3 o'clock in Georgia. It was about 9,800 degrees on that turf. And the coach would tell the big boys, you might want to come early. might give you a better chance to finish what you got to take care of. Some of them would make it. Some of them wouldn't. Or some of them would struggle. And what we would typically do, we saw a big lineman, they needed one more of the things they needed to make, and they struggling. You know what we would do as running backs? We'll get up there and say, we're going to run with you, big fella. Try to help them make it because, you know, we understood the heat was bearing them down. You take a smaller guy like myself, running was no problem. But you would see them struggling. See, we need things to sustain us. See, if you drive a car and that indicator light comes on for gas, if you keep driving and you don't put gas in there, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go down. See, we as Christians need to continue to fill up and drink the gospel. We need to fill up on the gospel so it's designed to keep us running. It's designed to keep us going. It's designed to keep us doing what God would have us to do. But we have to come to the table and eat. We have to position ourselves so we can do what God would have us to do. Being in worship service is just the start. That's the bare minimum. Being in Bible class, that's the bare minimum. See, when you go home, you got to ask yourself as a husband. I'm going to ask this question to husband because this is what I've been asking myself. Am I a spiritual provider for my wife? I might help teams. I might preach and do other things. But how much time am I spending studying the Word of God with my wife? Ask yourself that as husband, because that's your responsibility. How much time are you spending training your children in the ways of God, making sure they understand who God is? How much time are you spending doing that? Are you as good of a spiritual provider as you are a provider financially? God expects us to be a provider financially as well as spiritually. He also wants us to be He wants us to be providers when it comes from an emotional standpoint. Y'all pray for me. I can do a better job than that. I am thankful for the gospel because it sustains me when I commit and remain steadfast. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. You should all be there by now. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offer thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now, they're just talking about the body of Christ being prepared to take away sin. And burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Is that your focus, to do the will of God? You know, I was sitting there thinking about this. When I was in the world, after I obeyed the gospel, I was in the world. I did what I wanted to do, and I went to that beat. But the thing I don't understand is when you know the truth and you don't do the thing you're supposed to do, why are you going to even half step with God and think you can go to heaven? You got to look at it. Either you love the Lord or you don't. With Jesus, there's no middle ground. I often wonder, why would some folks come here, sing, pray, give the means, take communion, and then go home the rest of the week and live like they don't know the Lord until they come back? If you don't change those behavior will lead you to the place you don't want to go, just like the person that comes, shows up, sits down, and they're here every week, but they don't do anything else. They don't utilize their talent. There's no difference between the two in the eyes of God. We need to know that. Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering the burnt offerings and offer for sin thou wouldest not, neither have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first that he may establish the second. I'm so glad that he took away the first so he could establish the second. Are you excited about that? Because, see, when you think about that, it all came together at the cross. See, sin came together. The Savior came at the cross. Salvation was at the cross. All those things met at the cross. And when you think about that, that middle wall of partition was torn down. It allowed the Gentiles to be able to be in the one fold. It allowed us to be the sheep that was not of that first fold that could hear his voice. And in the fold, we need to be thankful for that. And it took place at the cross. Drop down to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, here's what we need to do. This is how we commit. This is how we remain steadfast. Pay close attention to verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Have you drawn near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith? You ain't doubting. You ain't questioning. You're about his business. You're focused because you know you're going to be rewarded if you do it his way. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, we need to draw near. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us not waver with God. Stay strong. Stay committed. Look what he said. Draw near, hold fast, and then he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works. When was the last time you considered someone other than yourself with the intent and the purpose to provoke them unto love and good works? See, if you do that, notice what he lists when he says, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Look what he then proceeds to talk about. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Are we doing that? Are we really reaching out to encourage brethren to not forsake the assembly of God? God does not care that football season is in. We need to know that. We need to understand that. I don't care if it's a 4 o'clock game, it's your team. God does not care. God does not care if your grass needs to be cut. He expects you to be in the house of the Lord. God does not care. If it's something that not providentially hindering you from being here, God expects you to be with him. And the reason he expects that is because he gave up his son and provided a way for you to be saved. All he wants you to do is live for him. Now, if you choose not to do that, that's your business. But you do have to understand and know that there is a day of vengeance. The scripture has concluded it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. We don't want to do that. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. See, you don't have to wait till Saturday to do this. You can see the day approaching on Monday. You should be calling somebody. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I'm going to see you Wednesday night. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Am I going to see you Sunday night? God expects us to be like that. See, if we would take the mindset, because some of us text and communicate with our brethren throughout the week. Some of them may not come. Why not take the phone? Why not reach out to them and encourage them to come? If you remain steadfast and committed to God's word, you'll hear well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what it's about. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. In the grand scheme of things, that's all that you want to hear when it's all said and done. You don't want to hear, depart from me. I never knew you. You don't want to hear that. But as you think about being thankful for the gospel, have you made up in your mind to remain steadfast? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, it tells you how you can remain steadfast and how you can grow. The Bible says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For these things being you, and abound, they make you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God expects us to be fruitful. He does not want us to be barren. So we got to ask ourselves. The scripture said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Now, it's a terrible thing to forget that you have been purged from your old sins. Because when you do that, you look like a dog going back to his own vomit and eating it. I've been there. I know what it looks like. And the thing about it is, it just gradually happens. You start to neglect your salvation by not doing what you know you should do. You don't get moved by the gospel message being preached. You say, well, why are they preaching and talking about this over and over and over again? It's just like when you take a plane, they tell you seat, pull your seat up, tray table down. They tell you because it's important over and over. Paul said that he came not with excellency in speech, but he came saying all he knew was Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that is what would cause mankind to be saved. It's not all these philosophical things that you can do and you can get into. God wants us to expand our brain, but he also wants us to make it to where people can understand that they need to obey him. Verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's a great promise, that you will never fall. But it says, if you do these things. To do these things means you have to work at doing it. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Do you live your life knowing that your labor is not in vain? Heaven will be worth it all. Sacrifice now, enjoy the pleasures later. You know, sometimes in life we look at things and we life is funny. And growing up, one of my things I used to always think about it, I just want to have fun in life. I want to do things that's fun. That's what kids say. I'm so bored, I want to do fun things. And I'll tell you this, fun is good, but reality is better. Serving God is better than any fun you can have in the world. And while I'm on that, Christians can have fun. There's things that you can do that's holy, righteous, and fun. You just have to spend some time and do that. Does your life demonstrate today that you are thankful for the gospel and God's sacrifice on your behalf? Are you more faithful to God since you have come to know the truth and have been set free? Are you more faithful to God now that you've been made free by the truth? Jesus said it, you should know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Jesus also said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Does your actions and word, thought, and deed demonstrate that you love, that you respect, and adore the gospel of Jesus Christ? After all, the scripture has included in Colossians chapter 3, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Are you as faithful to God as you are to your job? I've heard people say, I haven't missed a day on my job. I've been working at 35 years, and I hadn't been to Sunday school in 20. Are you? Just think about it. When I went to grade school and throughout high school, I could count on one hand how many days I missed from kindergarten to 12th grade. One hand. I was where I needed to be. But when it comes to God's worship services, I exceed both hands, my toes, and other members of my body. Ask yourself this question. What does it profit if I go to work my whole life, make a lot of money, have a good retirement, and I lose my soul? And my children lose their soul because they were not trained that they should serve and appreciate God. The scripture has concluded, parents, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. If you don't come to Sunday school, you increase the chances of your child seeing no value or importance in Sunday school. Because the way we look at it, if mama and daddy don't have to come, I don't have to come. Are you as faithful to the gospel as you are to watching your favorite television show? I keep talking about television show because, hey, I have a problem. Sometimes I watch too much television. And my wife lets me know about it. So what I did the other day, I went and got a couple books. Read the books instead of getting on there and watching TV. And I felt so much better that I utilized my time instead of watching what I like to call the plug-in drug. Whatever you want. See, the thing about it is now your show can come on, you're not there. You can record four or five of them. Just go back, put them on there, watch it. Are you committed to the gospel as much as you are to eating and drinking? Some of us have never missed a meal. The scripture has concluded in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you thirsty for righteousness? Are you hungering for righteousness? Are you as faithful to the gospel as you are to your children? I got a daughter, and I promise you, I know one thing is this for certain. If anything is going on or not right with her, I'm on it. I ain't waiting. I'm on it right then and there. Then I ask myself this, am I as faithful to God? Do I treat God that way? Are you as faithful to the gospel as you are to your career development and your goals? Who gets more time? Your career development? Do have to realize that God gave you the mind and gave you the ability to work. But if you neglect to serve him and show your appreciation, he can take that away from you. He can take that mind. He can take that health that you have that allow you to go out and make that wealth. Spend time with him. Make sure you do what you need to do. I'm thankful for the gospel because it saves all who will obey. I'm thankful for the gospel because it shapes me when I submit and strive to grow. I'm thankful for the gospel because it sustains me when I commit and remain steadfast. I ask you, are you thankful for the gospel? If you are thankful for the gospel, I'll leave you with the words of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, can you afford not to? In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, as we have learned, which is God's power unto salvation, which we have learned in scripture that we have the gospel because of sin, which we have learned and saw in scripture the gospel has made it available to those who have sin in their life to be made righteous. What will you do with God's message? There's some here that have heard the word for years and years and years. Understand and know that if today was it for them, God would tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. And he would do that just based on the fact that they know they need to obey the gospel. They've heard it, they believed it, even repented of how they live, even confessed that they love the Lord, but they refused to be baptized in water. As we see in this text, the scripture says that it's everlasting destruction. I'm thankful for the gospel because I know I can be forgiven. I know I'm loved. and I know I could be made righteous. I know that I could be a better person because of the gospel. And the gospel can do for you what it's done for me. It could do for our families and everyone. So be thankful for the gospel. Share that gospel. Relish that gospel. Live as if you know Christ died for you. If you do that, he's promised if you remain faithful unto death, you will receive a crown of life. Oh, how sweet those words will be. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Oh, how sad it will be for some. Depart from me. I never knew you. You come to obey the gospel by hearing God's word. You've heard it today. I hope that you'll believe the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope you're convinced enough that you need to repent of your sins so you can be viewed, so you can take the necessary step to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I hope that you will be willing to complete your obedience in water. And if you do that and remain faithful unto death, you have a crown that awaits you. You have a room in heaven waiting for you that the Lord, the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, has built. If you've done that in the past, you strayed away. Make your petition request known to God. Just repent. If you fess up, mess up, Jesus will clean you up. He's promised that in 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9. If you need to pray, know someone else, please come by. Together we stand and sing the invitational song.
Still will